My name is Lin Hizen. I'm from USDS Stoneville, Mississippi. I have a research project to enhance cotton germplasm. I just recently got into these two traits, leaf fiber leaves and silico fragments. And I'm going to share with you some of my initial results today here. I like this classification of cotton germplasm. It's classified by Max Stewart word. And the cotton germplasm is classified into three major groups based on their easiness in crosses, the primary group and secondary and tertiary here. In this group, there are five tetraploid species. It's Hirsutum and Barberdens. They are the main source of cotton cultivars. The rest are wild species. Using the germplasm in this group is relatively easy to cross with cultivars. You don't need a specific manipulation such as embryo rescue, and hybrid progenies are fertile. So they can be relatively directly used in production. To cross with these two groups, usually you need a specific manipulation. You have to do embryo rescue. In this group, the hybrid is still fertile, but not for this group. So this is my current research focus, since they can be used in production relatively quicker. U.S. cotton has changed a lot recently. It switched from domestic consumption of the raw fiber to export. The global market required higher fiber strength and less short fiber content. This has to be improved in current cultivars to meet this global market. And also, the surviving textile industry raised the spinning speed dramatically. That also required higher fiber quality to reduce the cost in the processing. And on the other hand, the cotton growers, they need a high lint yield to for profits. Unfortunately, these two traits, yield and fiber quality, they are always negative associated. The success to break this linkage is still limited. So that's why we need a broadened genetic base in upland cotton. And my approach is to explore exotic germplasm in order to broaden genetic base. The utilization of this exotic germplasm is still limited. One of the major cause of this is the hybrid incompatibility. It caused a large amount of aborted seeds and molds, created a high content of silico fragments in gene fibers. As I said, my focus, the current focus is using the primary group of this germplasm. These two germplasm populations, they all derived from multiple crosses among species in Hirsutum. This germplasm is derived from multiple crosses among five tetraploid species. This is one derived from the cross between Barberdens and Hirsutum. Both of these populations, they underwent the multiple generation of integration already. So their genomes has been stabilized. We have released some germplasm lines already with improved fiber quality and yield. This time, in this presentation, I'm going to tell you some of the recent results in the leaf fiber leaves and the silico fragments. Fiber leaves and silico fragments impurities affect textile processing, affect textile quality. Fiber leaves That's the main source of fiber leaves, because the difficulty and dying stage, and it will cause the white specks in the yarn and fabric. The soil is sickle fragment. It also causes a dying difficulty. This is a fiber leaves. It's actually a fiber entanglement of this cluster of fibers. Since the dye is hard to get into these leaves, it will cause dyeing difficulty, will cause white speck in the fabric. This is a, you can see the seed coat here. This is a seed coat fragment. This coat is actually the torn pieces of seed coat, broken during during harvesting and the ginning. Most time they're attached to these fibers, so it's hard to remove them through cleaning and cutting. This is a finished fabric. I cited this from someone's publication. You can see these white spots. They call it white speck. This is already finished dyed fabric. So what we can do as a geneticist or breeders, how we can help these problems? The first we have to see if we have variation germplasm, then we can see how we can do it, improve this in breeding. I want to see the genotypic variation of these two traits in this germplasm. That's what I've used for these two traits. Also, I want to see how they related to other fiber properties. There are 200 lines of this germplasm has been evaluated in multiple years, in multiple locations, and in a randomized block design. I use an advanced fiber information system, or we call it AFIS, to measure the level of sickle fragments. We call it sickle nips. That's the way I'm going to present it in the results today. The lips, fiber nips and sickle lips were sized and counted in link stream of the AFIS. This slide shows the mean squares. It's analysis of variance. This is the lip, fiber lip count. That's the sickle nip count. The genotypic effect is highly significant for these two traits. There's no significant G by E here. So that tells me the genotype effect is same cross environment. So it's for these fiber properties. That's the immature fiber content, is upper quarter length, and short fiber content by number. Their genotypic effect is highly significant. So there is a genotypic variation in this germplasm. Again, there the component of G by E is small relative to genotype effect. This shows how this trait distributed among 200 lines. You can see here is most lines scored between 70 and 160 for the fiber lip count per gram of lint. There are a few lines scored very low for fiber nip. For the sickle fragments, the most lines scored between 4 and 9 counts per gram. There are a few lines scored nearly zero for fiber lip count. The heritability is high for fiber lip count. It's moderate for sickle nip. It's high for these characters, the immature fiber content, upper quarter length, this length, short fiber content by number. And this is a comparison between these chick cultivars and this germplasm population. You can see here for fiber lip count, so actually the fiber lip content is higher than their chicks. We think this is because they're high. They have the immature fiber content is high in this germplasm population. And so is for the maturity ratio is more diversified. This caused the higher lip content since these two are related. But you can see here there's no difference between the germplasm and their chicks for sickle lips. So that tells us this germplasm is because after long-term integration, their genome has been stabilized. So the embryonic growth is actually normal. That's why we don't see the high fiber lip count, fiber lips, sickle fragments. Actually, this is a good result. This is a short genotypic correlation between these two traits and other fiber properties. You can see here there's a high genotypic correlation between sickle lips and the immature fiber content. That's why this caused the higher leaf, fiber lips in this germplasm. There's a high positive correlation between fiber lips and short fiber content. So this tells us we can simultaneously improve these two traits. But this relation is unfavorable, this fineness. That tells us if we select the fineness to reduce fiber lips, because the lower number of fineness, that means the finer fibers. If you reduce this, you will have the higher fiber lip content. So this is unfavorable content relation. Generally, the relation between the fiber lip is not related to these traits. Yield is negative related to the fiber lip count and short sickle lips. So that means if we select for these two traits, there is no compensation in yield. That's also good too. The strength here is there's a high relation between strength and sickle lip. This is not good. This is unfavorable. So if we reduce this lip count, strength was reduced. That's unfavorable correlation. In these three germplasm lines, they have good fiber lip count and sickle lips, lower than their chicks. Their yield is comparable to their chicks. These two traits, their fiber strength is nearly comparable to this Acana type cultivar. They have very good short fiber content. The fineness is a little bit higher than these two traits, but their maturity ratio is higher too. Okay, so I can make conclusion is this germplasm is a useful genetic resource for these two traits, for fiber lip content and sickle fragments, and also for other fiber properties. There is an unfavorable correlation between the lip count and fineness, and also between sickle lips and bundle strength. I'm not going to get into detail of this. I'm going to create a genetic population as next step, so I can analyze the correlated selection response and combining ability of these two traits with other properties. Eventually, I have to see how the selection will eventually improve these two traits. The improve these two traits will improve the young property. That could be our long-term project. Okay, it's time to wrap up my presentation. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we have a couple of questions from the audience? I have a question.
Yes.
How do you plan to integrate enhanced fiber quality without getting a penalty in yield? Do you have a strategy?
What we see is, so far we see the yield is negatively related to most of fiber quality. That's why we have to get into exotic germplasm. Hopefully, we can see those exotic alleles in genome. So you can, the more exotic the genome you have, the novel genome, the more chance you can break the linkage. between yield and those fiber properties. Somehow, right now, I don't see many successful breeding this. There are some lines that takes us like Fibermax. That's quite good that they have both yield and quality. But for those cultivars in the Middle West and Southeast region, almost those commonly cultivated cultivars, they don't have good properties so far. The yield is very high, but property is low. That's why we need to explore these exotic germplasm to broaden genetic base.
Please join me in thanking all of our speakers from this session this morning.